This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brennan Cruiser
and Taryn Wallace
with me and my mates. The cool show for mates with disabilities.
Brendan and I have been mates for many, many years, and it's cool that we can come together and bring you a show focusing on disabilities and helping educate people in the community about different disabilities and what is available, as well as inspiring those of us with disabilities.
Keep on listening to our great show. Hey everybody, this is Brennan Creswell
and Taryn Wallace
with me and my mates. Hope things are going all good for everybody, because today we have a group from, is it Radius Care?
Radius Care.
So who have we got in studio at the moment?
Stella?
Myself, Victor. I'm one of the caregivers at Radius Thornley Park.
And I'm Helen, and I'm a diversional therapist working for Radius Care.
Oh, beg your pardon, I'm one of the patients that they're trying to look after, but they do very well, Craig. Don't worry about it.
Yes, thanks for coming today, guys. So what percent of people that come to rest homes have disabilities?
I have.
So that's probably something Craig can answer. He'll have more idea.
Yeah, sure, Craig. I'm regional manager here, for Radius, and covering New Plymouth as well as Bay of Plenty, Waikato. It's an interesting question, because it comes down to what you define as disability, I guess. Because a number of our, we do have several contracts that deal with young people with disabilities, and of course over 65s, and a number of those have disabilities as well as general aged care issues. So percentage is a bit hard to establish, but because our business is around aged care, but we more and more getting involved in young people with disabilities, so I'm hesitant to put a percentage on it. Certainly a lot less than the aged care, but I wouldn't want to take a guess at it. Certainly a lot less than the aged care.
So you guys do get the odd younger person if they need care because they can't live alone or something like that?
Absolutely, we do, yes.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Provided they're registered and require 24/7 care, then, and they fit within the criteria of the contract, then yes, certainly all our sites, or virtually all our sites, we now 25 will have some component of ability to serve the younger person with disability.
So I guess you guys would have contact with places like CCS and places like that, I guess, now and then.
Yep, who you're directing that to. That's absolutely, we would have contact with anyone that has a community support or contacts regarding young people with disability.
I'd like to add to that with the younger people. We actually have a few in both the care homes here in New Plymouth, but what we have just started recently, late last year, is we reached out to some of the other homes that have younger under 65-year-olds, and we are now getting together regularly once a month, and so that they can socialise with their own peers, and that's directed by them. We're doing the things that they're asking to do. So, and it's been surprising just how much of a community there is out there of these younger people, and we've realised how important it's been to get those younger people together and to do more age-related activity, and rather than with older people all the time.
Yeah, you know, like I'm part of the Blind Foundation or community committee, and I'm the youngest on there by far, because I'm only 37 and probably the next oldest is, you know, good 20 plus years older than me, but I don't care. You know, I enjoy doing it, so, you know, that's all good.
Yeah. But as far as I know, and Craig might be able to answer, this is actually no specific age-related care facilities, are there, Craig, for people that are younger?
Sadly, no. No residential ones as I can establish, and it's certainly an area that governments need to address, I believe. We do have, there are a number of issues obviously around having young people under 65 and can be substantially younger than that, that come to us, and that they require a specific area of activities and of health requirements, that caring requirements. So it can be difficult. Yeah. In my opinion, we need to, governments, this government or other governments need to be starting to consider that need.
Yeah, and trying to get them socialising with their age group, stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think on the topic of socialising, and I think this can go for anybody really, but what types of activities do you do with people with disabilities?
We do just about anything you like, Taryn. When someone comes into care, no matter what their age is, we always do a little survey of what their interests are, and we try and tailor the activities to meet the individual needs, no matter what their age is. But obviously, it's really important that those younger people still socialise with people their own age. So when we first got this bigger group together, we asked them what they would like to do, and so we're sort of aiming to target our activities for them at that. But whatever their interests are, we try and maintain what they are interested in doing. We've got one young person who goes out to work still once a fortnight. She goes out, so
that's good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good for her. So whatever their interests are, we'll try and accommodate as much as we can.
That's really interesting, actually. I didn't realise that, because I'm actually a singer, and I've gone around some of the rest homes, and my dad used to be in care. And I'm actually amazed at how many people there are that are under the age of 65 who are going into care. Have you noticed that, I suppose there's been an increase in that over the last few years, or has it been steady?
If I could answer that, I think in my experience, yes, it's far more common now for us to even consider taking young people with disabilities into our aged care home, generally because of there is no specific place that people can go for that, so we've had to adjust our activities and our thoughts around how we're going to care for young people in addition to our aged care. But yeah, I've seen an increase over the years. Helen, what about yourself?
I think not where I've been working so much, but once we got this group together and I realised that some of the other facilities have a really high number of younger people, that really, I suppose I even got shocked by that because I didn't realise myself. So maybe that's because I didn't have my own eyes open. But they're definitely, I'm shocked at the number of younger people in aged care facilities. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see the government do something about providing an age-specific facility for people. I know that's probably not economically feasible. I don't know. But ideally, in an ideal world, that would be fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. So do you guys provide short-term care for people if they need it? Like if, they live with family and the family goes away on holiday overseas or stuff like that, or...
Is
Who's going to answer?
Yeah, it is called respite care, and we provide that care like for a week, for 2 weeks. And yeah, even we have some residents who are spending, just came for 2 weeks and a 1 week, like that. That's called respite care.
Yes, we do have that commonly available.
And rehabilitation care too, isn't there, Craig?
Yes, yep. We can work with Te Whatu Ora on rehab, and more often with the number of, or the lack of bed availability at the public hospitals, we are offering the ability for step down / respite, so rehab and or respite care for any age really. So that's often used. We do prefer a little bit of notice period from that, but we understand the absolute need for care or respite.
So I'm not too sure. I suppose either of you could answer this question, I suppose, but what type of training do you have to do, and how long does it take to qualify to do the jobs you do?
I'd like to hear Craig's answer.
That sounds like a hospital pass.
That's all right. Victor,
are you referring to the carers themselves?
I think so. What are you?
Victor could answer that perhaps.
Actually, what type of training? We should be like, I'm a nurse, back in India, I'm a nurse. So as I started my job here, so they put me at the level 4. So as a carer, if you want to start your job, so you need to start, there are some levels, certain levels, like level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. So you need to do this training online. It's available on online and as well as in the colleges as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So this is the way we start a career.
So if you come from
India,
other countries, and you've already got the training, you know, to do that kind of job where you're from, do you have to retrain in New Zealand? Or
Craig, did you pick that one up?
Look, with internationals, we firstly look for. Nursing is a little bit different to a healthcare assistant worker, for example. I mean, we know the nursing situation in New Zealand and pretty much internationally. So there is an ability for nurses from overseas to come here, and provided we can they're from a country where we recognise their nursing degree, then they just have to do a section around New Zealand cultural aspects, and once they've done that, then we can look at it, provided their visa and everything is okay to work in New Zealand. And we often will recruit people from overseas, and have done. I've certainly done that with India, people from India or the Philippines. So there is, other than our cultural competency, which they are required to do, and obviously an aspect of English speaking and ability for them to pass the English speaking part of the requirement, then yes, they can come here and work. From a healthcare situation, anyone can become a healthcare assistant. They can come and say they're interested and apply for a role. We would encourage them, and we have an ability to assist them with their grades or levels of healthcare assistant, from levels 2 through to level 4, as was mentioned before. So they have an ability for ongoing improvement and study, and with that, of course, goes an increase in pay rate. So, but it's certainly something you have to have a love for. It's not, I would strongly suggest it's not just a job for anybody, because if you don't have your heart in it, it's pretty easy to tell from a resident's perspective and from other staff that you're not in it for the right reasons. So I would encourage people who have a caring nature and who perhaps have had some experience in caring for relatives or whatever, and they're interested in that, then those are the sort of people we want to look at, not just someone that sees it as a way to get off a benefit or to fill a gap.
Yeah, you'd need the right type of people, you know, that were caring, friendly, helpful.
You'd have to have a certain level of compassion, I'd imagine. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Compassion and empathy.
It's like, you know, us doing our radio show, you know, it's, what would you call it, voluntary? Well, we don't get paid for it, but it's a community station, so we do our shows, we have sponsors, you know, and in my opinion, I'd much rather do it, you know, be part of a radio station doing this and not get paid, which we don't, rather than get rich off something I hated.
Absolutely, and I think those that attitude is about giving back, which, you know, is, and it's about following your heart really for jobs, and it's very noticeable those that are made with that sort of DNA, that caring nature, and we try and encourage people to realise that, you know, the people they're caring for could be their relatives or their brother or their daughter or their whatever. You know, we need the right people in it for the right reasons.
Stella might be able to describe what makes a good carer.
Well, I'm not favouring any, but they're all good. They're all good carers. I love them all, but I don't know whether they all love me or not. they certainly look after me. No, they're all good. I'm very happy there. So that's the main thing. I told you at the table that day, it took a couple of months to settle down because I had to sell a beautiful home. But
that
it's my home now. Easy. So, yeah. And these lovely Indian boyfriends of yours. Don't tell anyone.
No, you can take my name. That's okay.
I can say your name.
Hey.
Victor's number one today, but I won't tell the others that he's number one. they're all good, whether the males or females, they're all great nurses. I love them all, and they certainly take great care of me, and I'm very happy there.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Better than being alone, right? Better than being alone with no company or no one to hang with.
I'm never alone.
No, I'm meaning, you know, living on your own, you know, wouldn't be that great compared to living in a group where you've got people to talk to.
That's right. And the carers are good because as they come past the room, it's usually a bit of cheek, get out of bed or something like that. You know, that's caring.
Yeah. I'm lazy if I don't have to get up in the morning. I stay in bed late.
But picking up on your point too, Brendan, about better than being alone and living it alone, one of the things I see with our role with activities is that we can help people to live a better life than what they could if they were living alone. Because we can now enable them to do things that they couldn't do on their own. And so they're actually coming into care to live their life out and not just to, you know, just not waiting to die. They're there to live their best life. And that's where I get my joy, is from seeing people living their best life and trying things that they have thought they would never do. They're never too old to do something new, and we try and give them lots of varied experiences. So you're right about that. Living alone is not always a nice option.
So I'm really not too old to chase these Indian male nurses. sorry, I was only asking.
Just
know you're married.
You just can't move fast enough, Stella, for the chase.
They're all lovely. Sometimes I suppose it's like anyone, it's a bit of understanding. But we get there in the end. I think I've told quite a few, talk slower. And I don't know whether I told you, Victor, because you'd probably swear at me. Oh, sorry. I tell them to talk slower and I can pick their language up better by talking a little bit slower.
Yeah. Thank people you. That speak too fast are hard to understand.
Oh, they go 99 and a half and you're trying to work out the last sentence and the 10 ahead of you. And you wonder what they're saying. But no, love them all. They're all good to me, males or the females or the staff or whoever's there. So, yeah, I'm very happy now. And we have our happy hour. We have our... Helen's always dancing around doing something.
Music in the background.
Anything that comes up like Easter or all those things, there's always something going on, which I would never see if I was home on my own, but now I can go up and join in.
That's beautiful.
Now I had the staff, I just loved it this morning. One of the, he's respite care, is he, this chap? He was in the dining room the other day and he came up to me and asked if he could sit at the table and I said yes. I didn't know his respite care. I thought he's a new patient. I've been very, homely or friendly with them all. And he said, how about we sing, what was that song now? Baby Blue. And I thought,
beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful. I haven't heard it for years. So we sang the first two verses and he went and sat down and I said to one of the staff later, I said, is he allowed to go around singing to people? And they said, he's respite care. Well, he came in this morning, he sat on my bed and played the guitar and sung three country and western songs to me. Well, I hope I've got an appointment tomorrow morning. Oh, of course he can sing. And I said, how long have you been playing the guitar? Well, what is something since you got... since he was a little kid. But he's got a lovely voice too. And it's those things that make my day there. He just popped in and he says, hello, Stella. Righto, we're having a sing song. And it was that sat on the bed and away he went.
And he's not very old either, is he, Stella?
No, how old would he be?
He's in his 40s, his mid-40s.
I put between 40 and 45. That'd be right. And he was so friendly and so nicely spoken and polite. And I mean, that's something, because I love the music, it's something I never have if I was at home. And I'll tell my family that, and there's only one of them don't like country and western. I'll be saying, oh, Mum, you're getting everything there. But, I'm enjoying it. That's the main thing.
That's amazing.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's like me and Taryn go to the same church, and you're one of the, in the music group, aren't you, Taryn?
Yeah.
So, I guess you find that really good because you're a good singer and all of that. I can hear you on stage, when you're singing and, you're always in time and
that's good.
But the thing I noticed on Sunday, this one just gone, was that I noticed you holding the microphone up, but I didn't hear you. It just looked like you were just holding it in front of you.
It might have been during the middle song. I was actually bawling my eyes out.
Were you?
Oh,
no.
Did
anyone comment after the service? Oh, were you a bit upset? Or?
No, thankfully, I don't think anybody noticed, thankfully.
Just Brenda.
No, I just noticed that you didn't seem to have the microphone right up to your mouth. I've got bad sight, but I could see that you were just kind of holding the microphone, and I was thinking, okay, that's odd. She's normally got her microphone up to her lips all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes music can get an emotional way.
Oh, 100%,
yeah.
And I think that's, that's another thing as well is, what are some of the activities that you do with people regarding, music and art and things like that?
Okay, well, we always have happy hours. That's always full of music, isn't it, Stella?
Yeah, happy hours is good, and there's a different person each week.
Awesome.
That's always good. Was it bingo? What do you call it?
Bingo. There's regular crafts.
Regular crafts.
Going
bingo,
on. There's
knitting day.
Exercises to music. We have lots of community involvement. I think that's really, really important to 100%. Keep people
involved
in the community.
Do you have people that go play bowls and stuff?
We play bowls
Do we play something like that? Bowls?
Yes, we do play bowls. Yeah. We don't go out to play bowls. But we do play bowls.
We have regular outings as well.
A lot of the activities that we do revolve around a lot of the community involvement that we already have. We are involved very solidly with On the House. Have you heard of On the House with their free food stores?
No, they have three free food stores.
Try and say that with marshmallows in your mouth. And every second week they do an over 65s free food store. I got put in touch with Terry about 18 months ago, and Terry was just thinking about doing this over 65 free food store, but his vision was to see a cafe run alongside it, so that when the people come in to get their food, they can sit, have a chat, have a cup of tea, have something to eat while they're waiting to get their bags filled. And so we got talking and we decided that we could work really well together. So now our residents, they bake for the cafe.
And then on Wednesday, they go, when the free food stores, they love it. Baking's always like cooking.
Yes, there's a lot of people like cooking still, so we can do that.
And I like eating.
Oh, Brendan, we should have brought you some. And then on the Wednesday when they do go, they take the food down there and they actually host the free cafe. And the last cafe they had, I heard there were 80 bags of food that were given away. So that's 80 individuals over 65 that had come in. So now we're not only doing that, but when we have an event, like we might have International Day of the Older Person in October, or we might celebrate Matariki later in June, July, we'll actually invite those people as well if they want to come. And we have had some of them just pop up for happy hour. So we're really building relationships there with those people that are still living in the community, and they're seeing that life in the rest home can be quite normal.
Mm. So what are some of the other things, I suppose you were talking about the that free food cafe, so what other community involvement events do you do?
So we're also involved with Ballyful. So Ballyful is a group that deliver ready-made meals to mostly to families that have just had babies. So we're part of the delivery team there, so we can load up a van of residents and we pick up the frozen meals and we drop them off.
Oh, beautiful.
We've been involved with Plunket, where they have a scheme for books in homes, and we've been able to donate some books for them, as well as we've been able to provide some knitting for them to take to their families. We've also done knitting for the Hapu Wananga. And we have go to a community knitting group. Some of our younger residents come along to that with us, and some of that knitting has also gone to Plunket. We have a connection with the Army Cadets, and they do our ANZAC service for us. They've just done that at Heatherley and Thornley Park last weekend, which was fantastic. We have a connection now with Operation Blue Santa, which I believe only operates in Taranaki, and that is a group that work with the police to go out and do Christmas gifts for children Christmas time. Yeah. Operation Christmas Child, which is an international organisation, we put together shoeboxes of gifts and they get sent overseas, and I think we were part of something like 13,000 boxes that went to Fiji. We do random acts of kindness. So this afternoon while we're here, there's a group from Heatherley and from Thornley Park who are popping down to the firefighters, because over the weekend it was International Firefighters Day. So they're popping down there with some treats. We've done things like water bombing and candy bombing, care packages to the hospital. We do lots of lunch outings and we have guest speakers. We've got a connection with Access Radio through the request show, plus I bring in a resident once every 4 weeks to record his own radio show. I'm still only halfway through my list. We've had a connection with Toward Predator Free Taranaki, where our men have actually made rat traps, and we are champions for them in town. We did the Christmas parade, and we're going to keep doing that. We had lots of fun doing the Christmas parade.
Will Craig be Santa?
You'll have to ask Craig that.
Craig, I hope to be Santa.
Thank you, Stella. I'm hoping to lose a bit of weight before that becomes possible.
Cancer Society, we've supported them with the Relay for Life, the Dapper All Day Lunches. We have the Mobile Library come to Thornley Park. We've just recently sponsored a bowling tournament at Paratutu Bowling Club. We have regular church services. We've been involved with the New Plymouth Community Christmas Lunch. Our men's shed, we're just looking at growing our men's group and extending that. We had Americana visit, of course. I'm getting there.
Oh, that's cool.
We've just recently connected with Horses Helping Humans, and we were able to give them a donation from some raffle money that we had run. And the Salvation Army, we're about to start up a little project with the Salvation Army in June, which I won't go into any detail yet, but we're hoping that's going to grow. And our Whippersnappers is what we call our young people's group that we've got everybody together for.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Oh, that is amazing.
So these are nutshell and an overview of some of the activities that we do. So if you think life is boring in a rest time, you are very, very wrong.
Yes.
Oh, it's like, go away, Helen.
Even we don't miss our family. When we are working over there, we have a family. We are away from the country, but we are, like, I'm with Stella and some of the residents are, we don't miss the family. Seriously.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We get beautiful meals. I can't fault the meals. I get too much at times, but I can't fault the meals. And I think Greg was sitting at the table one day with me, and I said, we don't get enough greens. We want a bit of broccoli and all the rest of it. And we're getting it now. And, oh, gee, it's beautiful. I love my greens.
I
can't fault the greens. We get a nice soup. We get desserts if we want. Well, whatever, if we want them. Desserts and... Oh, that's great.
Oh, I don't say no to extras, is it?
Oh, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful having you.
Yeah,
thank you for inviting us. It's a real privilege to come in here and share what we're passionate about.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Cool.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hope everyone's enjoyed the show. And catch us again next time. And thanks to our sponsor, Life Skills Taranaki, for their support with the show.
Yes, big ups to Life Skills. And if you enjoyed our show, you can check it out on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. And you can also check it out on Access Radio Taranaki.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.